message is being broadcast by the Department of Defense of the Republic. At 2 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, multiple unidentified objects were confirmed to have entered Earth's atmosphere.
Discovery Houston, 20 seconds to LOS T-Drift.
The first message that comes to you is, you are a divine being. You matter. You count. You come from realms of unimaginable power and light, and you will return to those realms.
The vast stretches of the unknown and the unanswered and the unfinished still far outstrip our collective comprehension.
Five.
Broadcasting from Forest Tower Studios, all the way from the Deep South. Now, here is your host, Joe Root.
All broadcasting from the wall in upstate New York. Wish I was still in Arkansas right now, to be honest with you. But no, we are in upstate New York. This is Lining the Void. I'm your host, Joe Root. Thanks for joining us live on the Fringe FM. KTLK Digital Broadcasting. It's Monday night, Moonday night, and we got a really cool episode here for you. It's been a minute since Tim Doyle from UFO Seekers has been on the show, and we're going to talk to him, get an update, especially about his new Area 51 video and what's going on in the realm of ufology. Now, if you want to support the show, you can go to lightingthevoid.com. If it's your first time listening, that's the website you want to go to. If you find that you like it, join the patrons, and Kimberly and Shane and all the new patrons that just signed up. Thank you guys so much. Keep them coming because we could use your support, right? Like, that's what keeps this show going, is the memberships and the patrons. And then we got some new readings for you guys, the new energetic readings. They're going to be out shortly. I got to finish the back half of it and then upload it. I'm always doing all kinds of stuff. You guys know this, but we're going to simplify some stuff too for you guys too. All right. So, other than that, welcome to February, I guess, of 2021. I don't know if it's going to be, everybody's thinking, oh, 2020 is over. Well, has it proven to be anything special yet? Because they're already like anal probing people now with a COVID test. So what do you call that? I really want to ask you guys this question before we get the show on. And what do you call that, right? When you have to wear three masks, they got shock collars, and now they're doing anal tests. I think that's some type of weird experiment that they're doing. You need to keep a close eye on that because it's very strange. Very strange. We're lab rats now for sure. And, you know, we talk about ufology and abductions and stuff, and that makes me think of the old school abduction of like Whitley Strieber. You remember his show a long time ago on Art Bell, how hard it was for him to talk about what happened to him back then. And all of that, right? Well, it's kind of happening to us. We're like experiments. It's just not aliens. It's corporations and people running vaccines and all those people that are in bed together. Sorry, I'm a little frustrated about it, but you guys just be on the lookout for what's coming next, because after this, I don't know what the hell they're going to do to us next. The cool thing is ufology is going to be on the rise. I believe it's going to be on the rise this year, big time. And people want to know the truth more than ever about this, because we're getting the same story, same thing. Like I said, right? Tomorrow's Groundhog Day. That's what it's going to be like. Same story, same stuff. Oh, Elizondo. Oh, this and that. All to the stars. Da, 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 da. We talked to Stephen Bassett last week. We're going in circles. We're not getting anywhere. This is why we've partnered with Tim at UFO Seekers, and this is why I've always said since the beginning that I believe in what he's doing, because the man doesn't care. Him and Tracy both, they go after the truth. They do what it takes. It's real investigative journalism when it comes to investigating UFOs, and I'll say that. I'll take it all the way to the bank. Now, if you've never heard of UFO Seeker, they're a private company headquartered in Bakersfield, California, and they've been around. That company's, I think, been legal since 2016, but it's right here in the U.S. of A., and their website's under construction, but you can go to youtube.com/UFO Seekers and see some of the best UFO investigations in the business. They also got a show on Amazon Prime too that you can check out. And other than that, man, I'm just glad to have you back, Tim. It's really good to have you back. You've been kind of like in the background doing your thing, and I know I watched this new Area 51 video, and the guy, I couldn't make out what the guy said. I don't know, usually people start with better questions than this, but I got to ask you, the guy, the camo dude that came to the fence yelled something out, and you're like, hey, what's up? And he didn't say anything else to you. But what did that guy say? I couldn't make out what he was saying in the video.
Yeah, it was Tracy and I had been skywatching right at the Groom Lake entrance to Area 51. And like you were saying, one of the employees coming out had to get out of the vehicle because there's a new gate on that road and they have to like manually open it. So it was like the first time we were seeing these people getting out of vehicles, and we didn't even know it would be like that. And just kind of the way I film, I'm not like with a camera, like right in their face and running up at the vehicles or even necessarily pointing cameras at the vehicle. I mean, I may have like a wide view pointed somewhere, you know, just in case something happens that's not good or for a safety reason, or if an object like falls out of the sky, you know, that's what that's for, to like catch something. But this one employee was getting out, and I don't know if because of with like the light bar on top of the Hyundai SUV that we have, because we have like a new roof mounted light bar across the top. And so I think from that angle with the front lights, he thought, we must have been someone like fishing game or a sheriff or something weird like that. So he yells out, hey, did you see that bad word that starts with a B, Carol Baskins?
What?
And at first we didn't understand what he was saying. So we were like tripped out. We thought he was yelling at us about something that he saw like back down the road. Hey, did you see that scarecrow Baskin or something weird like that? And so after we posted the video, it was people who told us it's an individual from like a Netflix documentary called The Tiger King. And I guess there's this lady in it named Carol Baskin.
Yeah.
And I don't know, I don't like want to stereotype, but Area 51 and kind of that portion of Nevada is filled with like ranchers and farmers. Uh-huh. And so the show Tiger King is probably, you know, great for that demographic. And so, you know, the dude's watching Tiger King, which is about some exotic animals and some zoo thing. We'd never even watched it once. And I guess this lady's like involved in some conspiracy theories online about, you know, bodies disappearing, like some weird stuff. So, you know, I did post an update and let people know that viewers had figured out what the guy had said. It was one of the weirdest things. In fact, Tracy and I both thought, you know, that would get coverage in the media because we'd never had anything weird like that where there's interaction from one of the employees. We have no doubt that when those individuals working at that installation or facility are going through training now, they probably have that video as part of the training documentary and documents and human resources, you know.
Man, I would not think out of all the things that somebody would say, and dropping off Area 51, or especially an employee, would just yell out something about the Tiger King show, right? Like, that's crazy to me.
Yeah. Yeah, and to yell like a curse word, which we didn't know at first. So, you know, if someone watches the episode on Amazon Prime or through YouTube, it's the words in there. We didn't even know it was a bad word. And so for someone coming out of a place like that, which is, you know, supposed to be high echelon, probably using a curse word or a bad word like that doesn't present a good reputation for the activities or work going on there, if you know what I'm saying.
Yeah. Yeah. It's kind of weird. I think that the dude was probably just messing with you or something, but I really would like to ask you, cause I don't know for sure, but I think a lot of people want to know, when you get to Area 51, like what does it actually take to even get around a gate? Cause I know the last time you were there, when you got some of the best pictures of Area 51, and by the way, to this day have still are circulating around the internet like crazy, and you'll find them all over the place. I'm telling you, if you guys see shots of Area 51 with little red circles around it, stuff like that, that's probably Tim's. Probably Tim's pictures, you know. But I don't think people understand what it takes to actually do this stuff to get back to where you guys are, because the desert's a whole nother monster to begin with. But that whole area out there is massive, isn't it?
Yeah. So, you know, a trip for us is 3 tanks of gas alone. And here in California, some places it's like $4 a gallon for gasoline.
Right.
So just that alone. But dealing with the desert weather is probably the most dangerous, and like snakes, and you never know what kind of individual you may run into. You know, weird things can kind of happen when you're in rural areas and there isn't a lot of public safety officials around.
It's like the Badlands.
Yeah. And so maybe the most dangerous part about it would be getting stuck out in those places. So I grew up like in automotive racing, and my dad would actually did some co-driving like in the Baja 1000. And my cousin was a co-driver for the owner of the Los Angeles Lakers. And so, you know, in my family, we would go out off-road racing and we'd operate pit stops that would be 100 miles into the desert, you know, because you're running long laps, 100-mile laps or 500-mile laps, or in the Baja 1000, it's a straight shot. So you're doing a straight 1,000 miles in one direction, you know, and you're running pit stops out in the middle of nowhere. Of course, some of the teams have a helicopter, you know, so if the car breaks down, they just have their helicopter fly out with a transmission or something. But so I spent a lot of time out in rural desert type areas like that, and definitely know about having to make sure you can hike out or have water or food. You know, like a funny thing is too, is to have something like Gatorade, because even just water alone, you might not survive. You need electrolytes with all the sweating that's occurring. I mean, even when it's cold and you're bundled up, you could be sweating underneath, and that causes problems in itself. I mean, one of the last times I was out was at Edwards Air Force Base, which of course is the administrators for Area 51. And being out there, I swear I almost got frostbite on my hands because I was doing some filming and wasn't paying attention, and it was like below freezing. So the environment is what is the scariest.
Yeah, I think another thing too is I've said this many times, I get jealous when I watch UFO Seekers on YouTube, because you guys got some of the best guys out there to watch, but I know that there's a lot of editing that goes into that. There's a lot of effort that goes into this. And, you know, for a long, long time, we would, you know, I followed you on Twitter, and I would see your frustration in the UFO community, because I don't know anybody that watches the sky as much as you do. And so I can see why it feels like sometimes we're not getting anywhere. But what I'm curious now is with all of these new satellites that they're launching and all of the space junk that's going to be up there, is it affecting what you're doing now? Like, is it making it harder for you, or is it still kind of the same?
No, it's still the same. You know, I think maybe there's a cycle that can be gone through for people. Like, let's say I'm getting into astrophotography and I want to shoot nebulas. You know, you're going to begin a process of, I buy a telescope and an astro camera, like a CCC camera or a USB camera. And oh my gosh, I got a USB 2.0 camera. I need a USB 3.0 camera. Oh, my tripod is manual. I should have got, you know, one that has autonomous tracking so I could do the long exposures. And then next thing you know, that tracking telescope wasn't good enough because it has minute movements within like a 30-second portion if you're trying to photograph an object. So, you know, similar to a rabbit hole like that in photography, I think you can get into one in UFOs where you're looking deeper and deeper. But if people are having these alien experiences right here on the surface or the ground level, I mean, that's what we're looking for too. And if some people want to theorize that objects people are observing might be somewhat paranormal in origin, then it makes sense that these things would be observable closer to the ground. You know, and it's difficult to shoot through the atmosphere, and a lot of people don't understand that. You know, if you're pointing up a camera and you're trying to shoot something that is all the way up in space, you're going to be shooting through the atmosphere too, and that can cause problems. So having a satellite in space is probably the most appropriate to be seeing like deep space objects, you know, and having that powerful camera outside the atmosphere, you're not getting the distortions or, you know, so there's limitations to shooting high stuff like that. But there are great people. If any of the listeners want to look at individuals who spend time and do great work using telescopes on the surface level, photographing objects that are in space, they're typically using like a Dobsonian, like a 6-inch, 8-inch, 10-inch, 12-inch, maybe like a 2-time or 3-time Barlow lens, and then manually tracking like the International Space Station as it approaches like directly overhead, because you don't want to shoot it sideways, you know, when it's at like 45 degrees in the sky, because you don't want to see through that much atmosphere or pollution and haze, which may be in your environment. And then you can use, you know, types of telescope cameras or even a DSLR that's attached to the Dobsonian through like an adapter that you can get on Amazon or something really cheap, and timing it correctly and capturing it. You can take great pictures. I've shown people how you can even do it like handheld using like a 90 millimeter $100 Celestron. I believe it's called just like a refractor telescope, you know, just handheld with like a DSLR attached, and actually just, you know, putting it at like 1/4,000th exposure and bumping up the ISO and just hand holding it with a Sony, you know, and capturing objects or like the space station at night while it's passing overhead. And you can actually take good enough pictures and take it into Photoshop or into your computer and then enhance it and crop it and actually see like, you know, the areas of the solar panels and stuff like that.
Yeah, dude. I'm worried though, Tim, because they're just going to keep launching these things. Really? Like, I don't know.
Well, that's the thing no one ever talks about.
Tracy's very concerned
about Elon.
Oh, yeah. She should be, right? Like, we were talking about this before a long time ago, or even I remember Japan wanted to put, like, what do you call it? Like, signs, like road signs, whatever they're called, in space, right? Like, they wanted to put up big billboards, that's the word, in space. Like, they were serious about it. And these people aren't stopping, man. They're just going to keep launching more satellites. And if it gets to where, like, the one thing I love the most about being alive and planet Earth is the night sky, you know, and if they screw that up, dude, I'm going to get really pissed. You know, I just don't want that.
They are, though. I mean, anybody who's seen the movie WALL-E totally knows about what the corporations and some of these profit chasers, the problems they could cause as far as like trash floating stuff in the sky. You know, I have seen some projects though that are supposed to be launching soon where there'll be purpose satellites up in space to capture, grab and deorbit that junk that's stuck up there, you know? So there is going to be trash and garbage operations going on. And of course there's money to be made in that, especially if you're salvaging like the batteries and the solar panels. I mean, that's one of the best parts about being a UFO investigator. One time we captured a satellite deorbiting. And so you're just out there and observe a corporation just burning batteries and probably battery acid, solar panels, the components in that, you know, who knows, there could be lead and other things that are inside of those space objects and they're just vaporizing it in the skies above us. I'm sure that's not good for people. In fact, the object we recorded, a piece of it was found on a farm just 3 days after we filmed it. And that was only miles north of our location. We're in Bakersfield, California, which is an agricultural hub for the world. And so finding this space debris on a farm in Vandenberg Air Force Base was dispatched and picked up the piece which was photographed and run in the local news media. Of course, they didn't run our video with it because we're quote unquote UFO nuts. And, you know, it's great to be able to watchdog for the public and help expose operations that are going like that, which can pressure people to better take care of the environment by removing that space junk more appropriately, or, you know, thinking deeper about not putting so many objects in space. The thing about the Starlink and what seems concerning to me, I mean, maybe not to other people, but is having one of them impact, right? And then you have a whole line of satellites which just keep impacting each other if there was something there to stop them, right? And they would just keep coming one after another, hitting the same area. So, you know, I get worried about that, very worried.
Well, I think it's a legitimate worry, because it's not gonna get any easier. But I want to talk to you. We got to take our first break here, but I want to talk to you when we come back a little bit more about ufology, also how the skies have changed, or any new things that you might have seen since the last time we talked to you. I'm sure there's some updates there, and also your opinion on what's going on in ufology now. Guys, we're here with Tim Doyle from UFO Seekers. There's nobody else I trust when it comes to ufology more than UFO Seekers. That's a fact. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Lighting the Void. I'm your host, Joe Root. We're here with Tim Doyle from UFO Seekers at ufoseekers.com. The website's currently under construction, but go to their YouTube channel, youtube.com/UFO Seekers. As many YouTube or UFO YouTubers there are out there, Tim was like one of the first, if not the only official, like certified YouTube channel there when it comes to ufology. Not that it matters, because YouTube likes to push those subject fields down in the search marks, but I think it says a lot, because, you know, having over 200,000 something subscribers is good. And Tim's very well known and admired for his integrity in ufology and research. And I still, Tim, I'm just baffled about how much effort you guys put into this with the equipment and the videos. And now I just noticed this. I know you didn't ask me to bring this up at all or anything, but it's really cool that you guys got like episodes on Amazon Prime. I saw that. That was really cool.
Oh yeah. And that's been really good for us. You know, we have a lot of fans in the United Kingdom, which has been the best part of that. So hopefully they can start showing in Japan. But for us, it was almost a second revival. You know, it's a different UFO community or a person interested in UFOs in different countries. You know, of course, here in the United States, there's a lot of military involvement, but in other countries, people who are interested in those topics might look at it different and not be so susceptible but to what could possibly just be presented propaganda. So yeah, you know, there's different audiences in different places, and you know, people really are interested in the topic, and many, many, many people, probably more than anybody knows, there are people who believe aliens are visiting Earth, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I believe aliens have, or I don't know, listening to the Betty and Barney Hill tapes, like listening to the emotions that guy was going through during that stuff. That's what convinces me. What does bother me is when I look at all of your research and I see, you know, I've actually seen a few out of all the videos that you've made. I know when I see a UFO in your videos, it's a freaking UFO, right? Like, because you videotape and explain everything that you see in the sky, what it could be, what it probably is, why this or that. You also take people on the adventures and stuff too, but the actual like phenomena that you've caught with slow footage and stuff, like, I know that's a UFO. It's beyond the shadow of a doubt. It's a UFO. And to me, and I think to everybody else, that means a lot, right? Because we're being told all this stuff about To the Stars and Elizondo and all, we can do a million shows and talk about the same old thing, right? But if it's not getting us any closer to the truth until we actually look at things like what you're doing, and I wish people could see or even knew the effort, because most of it's edited out, but with the equipment that you guys use and how you do it, it just makes me feel like I actually have doubt, Tim. You know, I don't want people in ufology to get mad at me and say, oh, you have doubt? You don't believe in aliens? No, it's not that at all. It's not even about aliens. Let's first get to identifying a UFO and figure out what that is until an alien shows up. You know what I mean? Like, I don't, yeah. I want to just look at this from a rational point of view, not just because I want to believe, you know?
Right. And there is a lot of misidentification, you know, that is stemming from almost like, you know, what could be perceived by an outsider as a religious faith towards an outcome, a predetermined outcome that we have because of our belief system. So one of the hardest aspects of being an investigator, you know, is maintaining that separation from stories or belief systems and just looking for evidence and really trying to get down to the heart of the question. Are aliens visiting Earth? Are we alone? Are these things out, you know, in the universe? If we can find out that they're visiting Earth, then it answers the other question. Are we alone? Of course we're not if we find something. So, you know, unfortunately, it's, you know, the military is very good at hiding secrets and, you know, doing weird things or playing weird games. And so maybe the best thing to do is almost like, you know, if we wanted to talk about something political in nature, is just to withdraw from like news cycles, you know.
Right. Yeah.
Social media can be a very good tool if you're following, you know, the right sources or, but, you know, Tracy and I don't look at what we do as making films. We look at what we do as putting in a type of work. So being two people who've always helped others with business, you know, we completely understand work and work ethics. So,
well, you're doing us a service, man. Like, this is what I've been trying to explain to everybody. Like, what you do is different than the people that make, I mean, there's a lot of cool documentaries and stuff out there, but the field work that you do and how you guys videotape it, it's almost like I'm getting schooled on what's really going on here. To me, it's a service. For a truth seeker, it's a real service, you know?
Right. But I'd always wanted to make films. So when I was growing up and lived between Plant 42 and Edwards Air Force Base in California, we would rent movie props to a couple movie sets that were in the local area. I mean, I don't know if anybody's seen that Allstate commercial and they're standing on like a desert road and they're talking to each other and it's supposed to be like a car accident, but then the second actor starts talking about Allstate because the Allstate guy's right in front of them. You know, that's the movie set called Club Ed's that I grew up being around there. They filmed Stunt Masters there and all that stuff. And we would rent gas pumps and we had like 80 antique cars that we would rent. So that's where I really learned to drive when I was like 8 years old, and we'd always rent cars and stuff. So, you know, I had kind of a film footing growing up, understanding all the people involved and stuff. So luckily for us, that's been an outcome, which is good films. But being out in the field and trying to find out what's in the sky, listening to witnesses, meeting witnesses, that's really what we were always trying to do. But putting a film on YouTube or Amazon Prime, of course, you're just perceived as a YouTuber or a filmmaker. But I don't even get called a filmmaker, and neither does Tracy get called a producer, because she's the producer. You know, so we don't seem to get called either, but that's okay. You know, I think just focusing on what you're doing and your own search is what'll help you, you know, find the answers. Hey, if we can learn anything from X-Files, it's like, trust no one, right?
Man, that's really actually very true.
Yeah.
And one of the big reasons,
like,
yeah,
we don't even read the news cycle anymore. So I don't even know what's going on with the military or, you know, the people you were talking about. I literally have zero idea and spend zero time focusing any energy into anything that's involved with the military. For one, I don't believe that the military should be involved in a discovery of alien life. I believe it should be scientists in NASA or at a university, and that information or technology or new network connection shouldn't be used to create weapons of war or be used to kill people, you know, or to leverage weaponry against someone for political advantages or success of a government. We view it from a civilian perspective that should be shared with everybody openly. You know, so any like military type involvement, we don't ever see any disclosure that would ever come from anything like that. Because of course, the one goal is to always protect the government and protect national security. And that's what such a thing would become.
Yeah. Well, I understand that too, by not getting involved with the news cycles, because it turns into, well, I mean, it turns into the kind of the same thing. I think that, and I don't want to say, I don't want to get super conspiratorial and say that's done on purpose, but it seems like that we're getting taken through news like loops and stuff, right? And,
yeah,
you know,
people
don't
understand that the corporate connections, you know, they don't understand that, you know, the Disney Channel owns A&E Networks, and A&E Networks owns Contact in the Desert, and A&E Networks owns History Channel. And A&E Networks is a investor and owner of Vice News. And so when you have a History Channel show going with a Vice News article covering it, all owned by the Disney people, I mean, what do we expect? Of course, it's going to be just a biased press release. And that's what becomes confusing, because if something doesn't make any sense, that's why it comes off confusing and there isn't answers and there's more questions than answers, because necessarily it was just a generalized press release almost paid for, which is meant to just create hype and not necessarily provide answers. It's to create a boiling effect, you know, that builds and builds and builds. And then on the day of the release of the book or the movie or, you know, whatever the next smoking gun is that people are looking for out of a PDF or an MP4. And then that dam breaks and they get all those views and reviews, and, you know, that's what they're looking for, is to build that boiling up. And so the pressure releases and it equates into ticket sales or book sales or movie sales. But that's okay. You know, I mean, the country's built on capitalism and freedom, and there's audiences for everything. And, you know, if I can take anything away from my experiences, is to not get involved in those things, you know, try not to necessarily like mention people, which is why I don't pay attention to it anymore, because it became overwhelming for me personally, because of my opposition to certain positions, you know, claiming something is an alien when we didn't see the alien, but someone has the alien and it's inside of an alien unit inside of an alien building. And I have no clue, but it's on the Vegas Strip.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
And so, but, yeah. And so, yeah.
Well, the thing too is like that there's I'll read medical journals and stuff too, as well. I think if, well, I'm getting like you, I don't like staying in the main circulation. So I start looking at weird news sites with stats and stuff, because there's all of these studies done all the time. And what's happening is people are overstressed. There's a lack of sleep going on. there's so much crap being circulated around, you know, with the uncertainty of COVID and stuff too, but so much crap being circulated on the internet that people have right. lost touch with themselves, and they're stressed to the max, and they're being emotionally affected by it, you know?
Right, right. But, you know, I grew up and made a career out of social media marketing.
Right.
And digital marketing and search engine optimization, Google search engine optimization. I was Google certified, analytics, Google advertising. And I personally ran over $100,000 through Facebook advertising, been a part of millions in spends through Google ads for companies. And so we've been seeing this for a long time. Those of us who worked around in an industry, I can fully remember once working with a task manager software creator. And so working for this multi-million dollar company I was employed by, we had met with this software creator and began talking about creating a task manager software specifically for the company I worked for. But then we got into a conversation because all of us had grown up and gone to high school together. So it was really funny. And spending lots of money and burning wheelbarrows of money sometimes can be funny when it's good times. And the purpose of the task manager software wasn't to help your company with tasks. It was for you to put your business processes into the task manager software so that us as the software creators behind the scenes could take your business processes and then sell it to a competitor or someone who was very rich who wanted to open the same company. And you would just use the task manager software to tell us everything you were doing and how you did it.
Hmm.
And so there's a lot more nefarious activities that are occurring behind the scenes that people don't quite understand. And so when they're going on every day telling things like Facebook, hey, I just got a new girlfriend today. This is, you know, we're getting married. Here's my birthday. This is where I live. Here's where I went today. Let me leave a review at this place I'm at. So I have location tracking. All of these things are getting databased by these corporations and sold.
Yep.
But ultimately, they're weaponized and used against us.
Yeah, they're
bigger forms that we probably shouldn't talk about, right?
Right. Yeah, they're explained to us, especially if you look at things like Google Analytics, which is old, right? But the data that Google Analytics gets is amazing, and that's available to the public, right? That's available to the public. And second, like Spotify just came out with a thing that really trips me out too. They just came out with a thing where they want to monitor your emotions. They're going to monitor your emotions and play the music based on your emotions, your environment, and your surroundings, how you feel, all that stuff. And this is their new thing crazy. That they're going to want to do, right?
Yeah, it's so crazy. But we live in a weird society, Joe, and you know, unfortunately, many people don't care about privacy. Those things have kind of been eroded from our culture.
Yeah,
especially when the metadata collection was exposed, right, by Edward Snowden. I mean, that should have been one of the biggest bombs that ever went off, but it just seemed to kind of go away, and that has a lot to do with the media again, you know, kind of deciding for people what is news, what isn't news, and that's the power that we all have. You
right.
know, I've always felt as though the military doesn't like what we do as UFO investigators and likes to kind of play games sometimes by not saying certain things or
saying weird things.
People maybe,
you know, like,
and so
talking,
you know,
about Tiger King.
About that. Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. Right. But at a higher level,
right.
You know, we're not talking about workers who we all respect or service members who we all respect.
Right.
We're talking about hidden suits,
mm-hmm.
the black part of the government, you know, the people inside the intelligence communities who are playing nefarious games. You know, they're not infantry out on the front lines losing an arm. You know, these are guys behind a desk wearing two-time Barlow lens reading glasses. So the best way for people is to not play the games. And if, you know, journalists aren't being straight with you or giving you the truth about these things, then you just have to use your feet and walk to a different source. And so that's what Tracy and I provide to people, which is a completely unique perspective and source for the UFO subject. I mean, they can people can go anywhere and find someone who says yes to your every desire. But if people want to, you know, look for the real evidence or experience locations and sky watching and be someone who's captured something, because we caught that spherical cloudy ball in the Sierra Nevada mountains, we still don't know what it is. And we're a source where people can come and find that, but we're not following it with it's alien. We're not saying, right, hey, a flare is an alien. We're not saying a drone is an alien. We're not saying that pyramids were built by aliens. We're not saying that human skulls were aliens. We're just trying to be investigators and take an unbiased perspective and credibility, so that when we do speak to alien abductees or UFO witnesses, their stories are presented by someone who's seen as credible and not invested in stories monetarily.
Well, I got to tell you, man, when I first, back in the day, I was doing, Saturday radio for another organization. I was like, man, all I want to do is talk to this guy. And, you know, both of you, actually, what you're doing, it's so rare, man. And I like to keep people close to me that I know have integrity and that are authentic. And, you know,
I appreciate that.
People can say, oh, blah, blah, that's, you know, virtue signaling. It's not virtue signaling. I promise you, I swear on everything holy when I say this. The more authentic and honest you are, the less people are going to, you're going to fit in with the crowd. I promise you. I promise you. I promise you. But I think, and I'm hoping with all of my heart, that in this new time, because of COVID and what everything's happening, all the push that people are having to work from home, that we're learning to be more that way, regardless of what the world wants us to be, because we're all getting tired of being programmed, you know?
Yeah. But the one takeaway I've had from all of this experience, if people are ever having a hard time, is, you know, it might not be the answers are just way out there deep in the universe. Maybe the answers and the things we need are just right here in front of us. I mean, from all we know, and with the scientific evidence that exists right now, maybe we're going to go out there in the universe and there isn't other life, mm-hmm. right? Because we're just looking at this from a scientific perspective, and we haven't discovered intelligent aliens yet. And if that is the case, then maybe what's right in front of us is what does matter. And we're given this chance here. No one knows where we're going, where we came from. And so being and having great relationships at home, in your personal life, at work,
right,
you know, and educating yourself and finding good sources, so you're not believing myths at work, myths in your life, myths about like the economy or, running a business or becoming self-employed. And so seeking knowledge and questioning everything, and then people just making good relationships around them. That's what's important. You know, it isn't even if we did capture alien evidence, right, it still doesn't like help us as people. So there's always souls and people behind all of us, and we all need to make sure that everybody's doing all right.
Yeah, for sure. And I challenge all of the listeners that are listening to this, especially this is the first time you've heard of Tim or UFO Seekers and Tim and Tracy. If you go to youtube.com/UFO Seekers and just, or go, you know, on Amazon and watch the videos, you're going to go through an experience that's real, that's authentic. And it's as good as it gets when it comes to investigating the sky and what's going on out there. And I'm glad that you're kind of honest with me about that too, because when it comes to the military stuff and the new satellites and all of that systems out there, because there's a lot of articles floating around saying, you know, that they're trying to take over our night sky. And I'm with Tracy on this one too. I'm worried about that. And I know if I contact you, I'm going to get the real deal on that, because I don't know anybody that watches the sky as much as you guys do.
Yeah. It was like the weirdest thing to go through when SpaceX did the reusable rocket, how great of emotions it was. But then the first Starlink launch went up, you know, with a bulk of 60 or 100 satellites all in a row. to where we just had a complete fallout, and we don't much like what Elon is doing in space at all. I mean, the reusable rocket, greatest thing ever.
Right.
Starlink, it's got to be one of the not most intelligent things ever. It doesn't seem. I mean, we have all this technology. You really have to put 600 of them up there. Maybe the idea wasn't so great.
Yeah, Starlink. But think about that.
Why don't I just drive 600 cars on my way to a UFO investigation? Oh, wait, I'll just drive one.
Right. You know? Well, there's an agenda there, too. Starlink and Neuralink is going to be. Elon already hooked up a monkey brain to it. He's already done it.
Yeah, but I think, but people don't realize. And I think one of the more interesting aspects of this Elon Musk saga that people will look back in history is his attachment to the military.
Right.
I promise you that he is a part of secret agendas about capturing data, about capturing information. And if that Starlink system really is about wireless internet all around the world, it's because the military has partnered with him mm-hmm. to help filter and database that information. And so, like I said before, with the task manager software, it wasn't about helping you manage your tasks. It was about you telling me your tasks, because I'm going to sell it to someone else to do what you're doing.
Right.
And that's what these things are for. It's not for providing the internet. You know, it's just like television. Television isn't about TV shows. It was about commercials.
About the ads.
How to get people to watch commercials. So you got to put TV shows in there.
I got to tell you, man, and as I get, I probably shouldn't say that. Radio's not much different, you know? I'm just saying, like, it's not, when you get into the mainstream side of it, it's not much different, honestly.
Yeah, but there's a difference between independence, and that's what we should all be supporting. You know, that's why I would much rather come on here than the Joe Rogan experience. I mean, if Joe Rogan asked me to come on, I'd literally
you
say
better.
No. Yeah. Have a good laugh, and then I'd come on with you the next day because, you know, I actually support you in life.
Yeah, you do.
You know, and you're on a search in the community, and yeah, I mean, supporting the individual organizations who are into UFOs, or, you know, the one guy out in Maine who goes and looks at the sky, that's who we should be supporting, you know, or the guy even who takes astro photographs. I mean, he may only be looking for nebulas, but he may be the one who sees a huge spaceship out there in space.
Right, right. Yeah, I support what you're doing too, Tim. And I know you're a busy guy, so it's a real treat to get to speak to you when you come on and give us the down low on everything. I guess before we let you go here, I want to ask you one last question. With all of the stuff going on with, you know, the new elections and things like that, there was word of people discussing to disclose things about ufology, et cetera, in the government, right? That was talked about in Congress, or some bill was going to be passed. I tried to talk to Stephen Bassett about it. Nothing seems like it's really changing. Just your opinion. Do you think anything in that, on that side of the fence, as far as politically goes, is going to change? Are they going to give us another cookie, or is this going to be the year? Just your opinion or guess.
Yeah, but I think what it's about is like UFO videos, little clips, and people want to be shown videos.
Right. I see what you're saying.
The military, unfortunately, may take advantage of that by showing people military technology and then wrapping it up in a term that says UFO, because literally I don't care about UFO disclosure. I care about alien disclosure and aliens. So if there's any bill that's written and it does not say aliens, then who even cares? Because now we're just playing games. Unfortunately,
yeah,
there are UFO individuals who will tell people that the military doesn't watch the sky. Okay. They are patriots, but they're kind of utopianized in believing that foreign aircraft and foreign military weapons could never go over the United States. And that's just sadly wrong. And Pearl Harbor is a great example.
Right.
And so the military is constantly watching the sky. You know, and to protect their own reputations, they might claim a Roswell was a flying disc, even when it was a German project or a Russian project or a nuclear warhead that didn't go off and landed on our soil. And so we're probably seeing Chinese technology, because there's hundreds of millions in money in China being spent on drone technology. A perfect example is how the U.S. military was using DJI Chinese drones on our military bases to film pretty drone videos. The problem was, they were Chinese drones, because China was so much more advanced than us in the commercial sector in creating drone technology that even the U.S. military was using them. And so they were just uploading the video of our military bases into a cloud and taking it back, or the cloud was existing in a foreign country. And so it's drone technology, which is the future, drones that go in the water, drones that go in the air, drones that go in space, all in one. They just go in everything. There's some that look like Tic Tacs, one called the ICBM, a multi-kill vehicle made by Lockheed Martin in Japan to hit and intercept North Korean ICBMs. So there's always aspects of protecting future technology by the government, and it's going to get wrapped up in, you know, weird terms like UAP. So that's why I don't even use that term, UAP. I don't even know what it means.
Yeah, I don't either.
I don't know how a physical object could be a phenomenon.
Right.
So, and people need to really be careful of the term UFOs are real. That's a fake term. It doesn't mean anything. Unidentified flying objects are real. That doesn't even make sense. A UFO sighting is real. Someone saw something was real. Because what if the UFO turns out to be a drone? What if the UFO turns out to be an airplane or a rocket with a plume?
Yeah.
Or a satellite or a space vehicle.
Or an ashtray from space junk. Yeah.
Yeah. And so these people will say UFOs are real,
right?
Get us into that term. And then we all look stupid, like nut jobs to the society and to the world. Because I promise you, these celebrities who trade on the military leaks they get, and they're allowed to monetize leaks because they have such cool connections and golden handshakes. They have everything handed to them for free. I'm just a real person like everyone else. I have to put on pants and work every day.
Right.
I don't have things handed to me for free. You know, I have to actually work to create anything.
And you put a lot of work into it, man. More than most, more than any of them. When it comes to boots on the ground, that's for sure.
Right. Right. And so all we know is that, you know, we just protect ourselves again, just like we're almost talking about in the media, is just by protecting ourselves by the sources that we're getting our information from. So, right. And the great thing is if we can teach people those qualities, it doesn't just apply to, I'm going to watch this UFO, you know, it applies to all of life. But more importantly, we're going to weed out the people who embarrass us. Because if we have, the one thing I saw was like this writer from this news place called The War Zone, who supposedly is like the defense bloggers. They called a patent by the U.S. Navy a UFO patent. Okay. So we have people who claim to be journalists and have the title of super blogger and have all the power by these social media champions and basement dwellers. And then they share it like it even means something. And it just makes us all look stupid. Because you've identified it. It's a U.S. Navy patent. You're looking at it, and it freaking has a name. That's called an identified object, but they use UFO because the cool writer wants to monetize and clickbait it. But people like us don't stand up for it, you know. It'd be like being in the ghost community, and they're calling something a ghost, and you're like, come on, man. Like, at least give us some reputable coverage, you know.
Right, yeah. They're calling a dream study a ghost or something like that. Yeah. It'd be the same thing.
Yeah, but
for
what
sure.
We're really trying to do is take the credibility that was built by people like Dr. Hynek and those from the past who took it serious and grabbing that baton and carrying it on. It's not about I have a friend and I need to help my friend make money from UFOs. So I'm going to promote his story bar none or invest in his whatever. And we're both going to wear the same shirts, bro. No, we actually are like looking for aliens on Earth. And want to talk to anyone else who cares about the subject, not people who chase military PDFs
right.
about drones. and things that happened in military ranges. I mean, I fully remember first coming into this UFO stuff and everyone would laugh. You can't go to a military base and film a UFO. That's a military object. But then here comes a celebrity and all of a sudden that's only where UFOs are now.
Right.
Inside military ranges.
Right, right.
But people allow themselves to become debased because they become so emotionally invested in a celebrity who they want to vicariously live through or have the faith come to fruition in the second coming occurring in Armageddon.
Yeah, right.
But people need to realize that this happens with every generation. I mean, if you're a Christian, you fully understand that every generation had someone claiming it was Armageddon. I mean, even the disciples themselves claimed it was the end times.
Right.
But
yeah.
No one knew and no one knows.
We're we're way over the break, but I'm totally with you. I had to let you like do that because I wanted to hear all of that Tim Doyle's rants on what's really going on in ufology, because it's not a rant. It's what's in everybody's heart, right? A lot of us feel that way.
Okay. You know? But it's okay. I mean, being someone who has to deal with the ridicule of actually putting UFO on their car and drive around and have to deal with the consequences of that face to face, meeting people somewhere as basic as a gas station, it gets, you know, difficult when people laugh about it, because every time I meet someone, the first thing they think is I'm going to tell them that, you know, I'm a full believer and, you know, dude, they're over here. And I just point to the forest and that's where the aliens are. But it really doesn't work like that. It seems to be random if it does happen. The best place we have evidence for it is in witnesses who've had experiences that occurred very, you know, they lost time or something burned an object, or they saw a quick or maybe saw a huge floating object coming through the sky. So there are occurrences and weird things and strange things happening. There may be a Bigfoot. I mean, that's a great one.
Yeah.
Maybe that thing's an alien.
Maybe. Right. So. Tim, thanks for coming on the show, man. I'll always love talking to you and hearing what you have to say about what's going on in ufology. We got to stay in touch, brother. Stay in touch with us.
Yeah, no problem. And if anybody wants to watch our videos, I appreciate they watch on Amazon Prime, and leave a review, please.
You heard it from Tim. Leave a review. Go check them out. You can go to UFOseekers.com. That site's being updated. Go to YouTube.com/UFOseekers. We'll be right back. More Lighting the Void coming up. We're going to talk to our resident shaman, Brian, huh? More Lighting the Void coming up. Stay with us. How much better does that sound? A little bit of compression on it. My man, Kronox from Belgium. You know Kronox does the music for this show. Always has, always will. Also Steezy Stevie. Steezy Stevie Music and KronoxOfficial.com. That's the music you want to go check out. Also, if you're in the country, Jason Benoit. Welcome back to Lighting the Void. I'm your host, Joe Roop. It was pretty cool having Tim Doyle on. We just had Tim Doyle on, and you know, this week we're going to have a pretty cool round of guests, actually. I know Charlie Robinson's coming on. It's going to be a cool week, actually. But this time, we're bringing back what I would like to. I would like to officially name this guy our Voidwalker resident shaman, Brian. But he's here, but he's back here with us. He came on before to tell a story, and it was so. And before we bring him on, I want to say this too. I've noticed in the chat room that, especially in the hashtag astro stuff where we talk about astrology and things like that, that people are noticing their dreams and their emotions and all this other stuff. A lot of this stuff is happening, and tomorrow is Groundhog Day. And I'm telling you, Mercury's in retrograde. All right. So unless you're a magician and you banish planetary energies, you're probably dealing with that. Right. And then you got Groundhog Day, which is, it's a time to show you cycles that just keep repeating themselves. So what are you going to do, especially if they're causing you emotional turmoil? What are you going to do? And as a man, you know, we as men have been taught to control our emotions, to keep our emotions on the DL. Matter of fact, I learned some really harsh stuff about relationships and women when I was growing up. My grandfather always told me, if you want to, it was so terrible. God, what he would say about it. Something about, like, if you want to have good relationships, you treat women as, well, I can't even say the word, and then you treat those bad words as women. I think he used the word, like, tramps, or it was a worse word than that. And I used to like, we were taught that stuff when we were kids. Never show your emotions if you're a man. Never, you know, treat women too nice because they won't respect you, et cetera, right? But as I grew up, I started realizing that I'm just as masculine as I need to be, but I always struggled with the feminine energy inside of me because I was brought up around men and always around men and construction, things like that. But then I started studying magic, and when I got into magic and astral travel, I started realizing that my emotions were the keys to my power. Not having them control me, but the actual keys to the powers of my manifestation, as well as expressing them too. And so I began to realize, okay, I was raised by a bunch of humans that are pretty much lost, as everybody else is, trying to tell me how to deal with my emotions. But as I learned these things, I started seeing these patterns. And when Bri first came on, it kind of validated this for me, because this guy's had a lot of really cool magical experiences in his life. But if you heard the last episode, he got kind of emotional. He wasn't afraid to express his emotions, but he also didn't let them control him either. He tapped into the ebb and flow of them. And I highly respected that, you know, because I don't believe that the divine masculine is supposed to not have emotions. It's about how we deal with them in a healthy way. That's what being a divine masculine's about. And so when you came on, I was, then thanks for coming back on, Bri. It's good to have you, brother. But
man, I'm so happy. I'm so happy to hear from you today. It's and hi, everybody. I see you in the chat room, everybody. Yeah. Awesome.
Yeah. I think it was really cool to see somebody that was tapped into them in a healthy, calm kind of way, where you weren't afraid to express them. You let that ebb and flow kind of happen. And the more I study magic, yeah, manifestation, things like that, I'm like, all right, so, you know, like, expressing your emotions doesn't make you less of a man. I don't care if women are attracted to that or not. I really don't care anymore. All I care about is being able to be happy with myself and tap into this, yeah, manifestation part of my life that makes me happy. And dude, you've had so many experiences. I'm jealous, man, honestly. And I'm just saying, I really want to think that has something to do with it. I really do. What do you think?
You know, I think I learned this lesson almost a year ago, and I'd grown up with military. I had a military father, military stepfather. You know, it was always kind of under the surface that, yeah, you should stick your chest out, and
right,
that's how we were supposed to be. A lot of repression, right? A lot of repression, stuffing it down, you know, and all that stuff builds up over time, and you push it down into your gut. And I think even, I'm sure, you know, women do as well, but I think a lot of our illnesses and a lot of our things come from stuffing emotions and capping them, or it just, you know, we stuff them and then it just blows out, and then we blow out all over everybody else,
right?
And we've got to do that work. But I was sitting in a room a year ago with someone, and the conversation has kind of been going on with empaths. And if you're empathic, I mean, I think everybody feels at, you know, different levels, but if you're empathic, I didn't understand this fully before this happened, but this man is telling me the story about when he was young and he was in Catholic school, and he had done something that apparently was, he didn't go into detail, but it was very bad, and he had to put his hands on the end of the desk while, you know, the Mother Superior basically beat his hands. And this is probably in the early 50s. I mean, she beat his hands,
man,
until most of the bones in his hands were broken. And then he had to go home. I mean, and they called his parents and told him, you know, he'd been bad. And then he had to go home. And he was telling this story about how he was walking home. And I'm already just flooding. I'm just streaming. You know, there's just tears going. You know, I'm feeling so bad for this boy, in this man. And he's looking right at me, telling me this story. And yeah, he has to go home. And then he really gets it, because his father's a, you know, Marine drill instructor. And then he really gets it. You know, and this kid's probably not even 10 years old. And, you know, hearing that through that transaction of information, I'm just crying. I'm sitting there in a room full of people, and I'm just absorbing all of this stuff. And he looked at me and he said, you know, he said, my hands feel better. And I believe there's something more to this. And I don't know what it is or how it works or anything, but I do believe that if you're empathic and if you can feel on a really and really hone in when someone's expressing some kind of trauma, I think you can lift that and work that through you. And I've heard other people say it before. I've been speaking a lot with a police officer out in Simi Valley and the things that are going on there. And I think I already knew this, but it's just a steady confirmation of this. And I'm like, you know, how do you deal with that?
Yeah.
How do you deal with that out there with all the stuff? And she says, you know, it's just tears. That's how I process. And I'm like, that's so crazy. That's exactly how I process too.
Yeah.
And
yeah, that's insane.
I think it's in the same sense, and it was before this, you know, before a lot of this stuff comes in, where you get the information and then you're presented in a real life, real time situation where someone's sharing something with you, and you get to test it if you want to be vulnerable and if you want to be real, which is what you and Tim were talking about.
Right.
And I think a lot of the stuff that's going on is distracting enough where it's separating ourselves, and everybody craves to be around people who are real, 100%
That's right.
Genuine, authentic, natural human beings. And we, you know, we're all doing what we're doing. I do it too. I'm not any different, but we're all distracted, is what I mean. But I did hear this other teaching, and this comes from Scotland, and this comes from men, Irish, Scottish, and they were working on a lot of generational curse stuff in graveyards over there and in cemeteries. And when they're processing energy that's bound to the earth, these souls that are bound to the earth, when they move, it brings that up in you, and you cry for them. That's just tradition. And when that happens, the gentleman that was telling me about this, that was teaching this, because he got the teaching, and he had said to me, we were having the conversation, and I kind of started to cry, and I went to wipe my tears, and he grabbed my hand, and he said, no. He said, this is what they taught me. Remember this. Don't wipe them away. You know, let them come down. Let them run down your face. Let them cut into your cheeks. And those lines are, you know, those tears are holy. They're sacred. And over there, it's widely accepted. Here, you know, I don't know about I don't think it's everywhere all the time, but you know, some of us, yeah. And we wonder, I think we wonder why we're blocking our own energy without even being conscious of it.
That's what I was going to say, man. Not only like it doesn't matter what you're trying to manifest in your life, you know, health, wealth, relationships, love, etc. If you're blocking, if you can't express how you feel, I'm not talking about spiraling out and flying off the handle and hurting people or abusing.
Right.
That's not, but being able to tap into the ebb and flow of how you feel and being able to express it, especially in ceremony, because as a ceremonial magician, I can tell you 99% of the things that have worked for me magically is using the imagination and being able to tap into the emotion of it, right?
Yeah.
Being able to do that. And I believe this is why there's so much energy trying to disconnect us, because that is the thing that connects us. And that is the thing that causes magic to happen. You know,
I haven't researched it that much, but I do think that there is an alchemical process that happens just with the salt, the sodium. And, you know, I think there's something alchemical that happens there as well. And I think, you know, I don't go looking for opportunities to cry, but I know when it's present. It seemed like the more that I let go, that the more it's funny, even like if you get if you're around something where you sense like human triumph and human, when people are having breakthroughs and stuff, they're not tears of sorrow, you know, they're tears of joy.
Right.
And
that's exactly,
I don't know. And that's, I think too, even with a lot of the stuff that a lot of the heavy energy, you know, I think it can be moved into joy, which is transfiguration, right? It's transmutation. Turning, you know, this into that, changing, being the magician with it, and really, you know, walking away from daily life, everyday, normal, average experiences that we're all having, that raises the. I just always get a very high feeling of something good just happened, something really good just happened, and I think we're all looking for, you know, better and something wholesome in our lives, you know, a lot of us.
Yeah, but I think a lot of people don't believe they deserve it based on their upbringings too, which is another thing that affects your manifestation.
Programming.
You know, the programming, right.
Programming. Yeah. But this is most of the stuff, you know, without even really, I haven't researched a lot of this stuff. Most of this stuff has just been, it's just core work, though. It's just core, which goes back to the way we started this. This is, you know, we're all trying to get to the core of something. Whatever topic we're interested in or pursuing or whatever, eventually we get to the core, and we know it as truth when we get there. So whatever that experience is, it's available everywhere. The more I do it, the more I realize that it's in everything. And the more you see it in everything, the more you see it in everything. And then it just starts happening. So, you know, all the time. Someone said, and I love her. I love listening to Carolyn Miss, you know, she says, the more I see God in everything, the more I see God in everything. And that just hit me when I heard her say that one time. It's like, exactly. People know about this, and I'm, you know, a lot of this stuff is just kind of, after you do enough of it and you experience enough of it, I think it just kind of rolls up in right in front of you, and you realize it's been going on in front of you your whole life. And, you know, then it's like, I was just thinking about this the other day. Anymore, I just think I don't have regret. I just know I was a doing what I could have been doing had I had this information. And if, I don't want to get into blame, but if I had this information when I was younger, I think it would have made a difference in a lot of situations where things could have been different, but I blocked it because of blank, you know, so.
Yeah, it's funny. Eyes Open said this thing really in the chat, too, that I want you to comment on it. She said, this is why broken people are attracted or like empaths, and why empaths stay too long with broken people. What do you think about that?
We were having that conversation a week ago.
Yeah, we were.
This is something Barbara DeAngelis, I learned this a long time ago. You know, if you're a 120 mile an hour person and you're going down the road and you see someone going at 30 miles an hour, or they're not even going anywhere, you'll pull over for them and pick them up out of the goodness, you know, to help, and you'll give them the ride and you'll get going back up around 130 miles an hour, and then they'll get uncomfortable and they'll not like that. They'll want you to slow down. Well, eventually, what ends up happening eventually is you get pissed off at them for, you know, slowing you down, when actually, you know, you slowed down for them. So it's interesting. When you let go and you get on with who you are, you all of a sudden find yourself, you're surrounded with people that are like you, and life is different. You know, it's I love to help people. I love to, you know, I have a situation right now. There is a woman that I care about. I've known her my entire life, and she's doing this work, and she's helping people. She actually holds a piece of the World Tree, and she's in Knoxville, and she's been doing this work, and inevitably, you know, we all go through this stuff where we get experience, and then we take it out into the world, and then we're doing what we're doing, and then we get hit with stuff. Because I think the more light you're holding, and the more love you're holding, the more you attract the other stuff, which is what she was just saying. Eyes Open, you know, that's why we attract it. And maybe that's just polarity. Maybe that's just the yin and yang of things, so to speak, you know, the positive and negative charge of the atom. Maybe that's just energy. Maybe that's natural.
Well, when you do your,
this woman is,
no, go ahead. Sorry.
This woman's out in Knoxville, and she's been doing this work, and she's been really doing some serious, serious work for children, you know, abused children. And it's been making the biggest difference. And she was blocked most of her life. She just got news the other day that she may be paralyzed because she hit with some energy, you know, and she's 30 years old, you know, and I'm trying to keep her up, you know, but I think that's when this gets into this other area where I think when enough of us are doing the stuff that we know we're supposed to be doing, then we have a community of people that support us. And because, you know, we talked about this last time. I mean, the worst thing that could happen today for most of us is that maybe we would die. But I'm firmly in the opinion that no, that's not the worst thing that could happen, because there is no such thing as death. So what is it then? What are we all afraid of? You know, are we afraid of Google? Are we afraid of, you know, being someone knocking on our door because we said something or something? Yeah, whatever. No, I sometimes wonder if they really are who we think they are. And most of the time, from my experience with a lot of this stuff, most of the things that I'm afraid of turn out to be nothing. They're not, you know.
Well, that's what I was going to ask you. When you do your drum circles, when anytime you've experienced something supernatural, I'm curious, as before that happened, were you emotionally or imaginatively involved? Like, I'm not familiar with shamanic magic or how it works, but I do know,
you know,
the hypnotizing.
I can't say that I am completely either. I know that there's just things like probably the way you run your board. You know what works. You know how to kick on the compression. You know what that sounds like. You know you like it. It gives you a desired result. Yeah. And, you know, you just have that button there that you can just hit. Well, the same way goes, I think, in spirit work and friendly. You know, I'm not into doing the, that's always, protection is key and still important. But we were doing extraction work on each other, kind of just a lot of practice.
Well, what are you going to say? You're not into magic? Is that what you're going to say? Like,
no, I'm into magic. For, how do I say this? I'm not that knowledgeable. I'm really more creative with it and more improv with it. I'm not really a guy that's like by the book. I like to
sure.
know.
Sure.
And I like to study the physics of it and understand the energy. But, you know, it's like, do you have to be an electrician to know that when you flip the light switch that the light comes on? You know, no, you can just go over and flip the switch.
That's my point about just imagination and emotion. These are things that children have. They don't have to be taught
right.
these things, you know?
Right. I think a lot of it is, you know, kind of taught out of us. Or
right.
When we say what we say when we're young, I mean, nobody's, maybe they're not even there. You know, I try not to judge. I really try really hard not to judge. And not be in judgment of any of it. And I'm trying, really hard not to sometimes get into the more I understand the physics end of it, the more I understand that, you know, it's, do I need to, you know, I think it's, when it's authentic, yeah, you know, emotions and crying and happy and joy and laughter, it's all part of the equation. But can I operate with some form of balance? You need the balance. When it works, there's balance. And what I was going to say was, we were doing extraction work, and that's where basically if you and I were there, the drum would be going and I would journey for you. I would go into a trance state and I would get something for you, or I would go looking around and I would use helpers, spirits, to take me to some place in your life to get something for you that you've lost. They call it when your soul fractures. You know, when there's traumatic events, there can be things where your soul just splinters. So what a practitioner would do was they would travel out of body and they would go retrieve that fractured part of your soul that is hiding still at that place where it happened. And they would pull it into a piece of quartz, clear quartz, and they would bring it back. And then what you do is you take that piece of quartz and you put it between your teeth. And then I would stand over you and I would blow it into your crown. And then you, over the course of a few days, without me saying anything, would feel more whole. And you wouldn't be struggling with those things that were upsetting you or whatever. It takes on so many different characteristics. But in extraction work, and, you know, maybe something got on you. So I would remove that. I would extract that out of you, and I would put it again in a piece of quartz, and I would hold it there. Well, we were doing this as a group, and this I talked with Whitley about this, actually. I was fortunate enough to talk with Whitley Strieber about this. And I was really getting into meditation before some of this started happening. And basically, I was asking him, I'm like, how much does meditation have to do with what's going on in your life? I mean, how much has meditation affected your life and your ability to have these experiences,
right,
good or bad? He said it's everything. He said, without it, this is not happening.
Yeah, isn't that something, right? Whitley Strieber, a guy that started out with a horrifying story of abduction and ended his whole journey, went into the spirit. He went into a long spiritual journey of astral travel, Monroe Institute, Gurdjieff. Like, it took him to the spirit world, you know.
You know, without it, and that's just it. Without it, you have to think about the things that happen to us. Are they really bad? You know, because most of us, I think, maybe not all of us, most of us, I believe, that event, whatever happened, leads us to seeking and finding an answer if we're persistent. And when we get the answer, it's transformative and it turns out to be the biggest blessing we could ever hope for. And evolution, I think spiritual evolution. Anyway, I keep going often.
Well, I'm just...
We're in this, yeah.
I'm just curious as to, like, in a drum circle, what was the first time you did a drum circle when you, and I know we're running short of time here, but the first time that you saw something, like something actually supernatural happened, and I just, before I ask the next question,
go ahead.
Well, I just want to know what was involved, if it was emotions or if it was imagination or if it just happened out of the blue, you know?
I think it was emotions, and it was negative emotions because we were doing extraction work and not consciously, but just basically removing things from each other and putting them into a piece of quartz that was in the center of the room. What happened, this is 2 years ago, and I've seen a lot of stuff with my eyes closed. I've seen a lot of stuff with my eyes open, you know, in the skies. I've seen a lot of things. I have never seen anything like this. And we were in the room, and things were moving, and you don't really talk about it, what you're extracting. You know, a Venom movie would be a pretty good example, but you don't really talk about it, okay? Because we don't want to cause alarm and, you know, bring any fear into anything. So we're just moving that out. We're putting them into this crystal. As easy as I just said it, Joe, you're going to take this out of this person. You're going to put it over here. You can do this. And then you do it, and you just can't believe you just did it. So we're doing that. Huh. There was some... After it was done, there was some singing, and I mean, the facilitator was singing, and he was ringing a bell, and I was just sitting in a chair, and I had my head down, and I was just thinking, wow, that was, I definitely feel like something just got moved out of me, you know? And I felt something brush my knee. And I kind of raised my head a little bit, and I looked up, and there were about, I would say, six or nine. It was somewhere in there. There were six or nine beings in the room that were about 3 feet tall that were twirling around in a circle that were eating the stuff out of that crystal. And then they all went up into the ceiling, and they were gone. And I was like, what was that? I didn't not only see it, but I felt it and I could feel it. And I'm just like, all of my senses are on 11 and I am not in alarm, but I'm just like, that, what just happened, you know?
Right. Yeah.
And someone said, did anyone see those people, those short blue people that were in the room? And I was like, oh my God, you know, oh my God, it's real, you know, it's so real. I couldn't believe it. And this happens. And then, you know, 2 days later you go, did that really happen? And I do that. I play this game where I'm like, did that really happen? Of course that happened. So then what do you do with, you know, I've told other people this story and I say at the end of it, what do you do with that? Because it's the event happened. It's done. It's like seeing a UFO. It happened. You saw it. You were there. You know, all of your senses were raised in that moment and that happened and it's not happening now. So how do you just, you know, go to 7-Eleven and get a soda and get your
yeah, how do you just go on about your day? Normal day, right?
You know, it's not crazy. It's just, it's real. I'm all in on it personally, but I just can't get enough, especially when good things are happening, you know?
Yeah. Well, I'm all in too, man. I just want to, some of the craziest things like that have happened to me have happened because of my emotions. And I would even say, even my ability to open up to them. I've been able to remote view things, but mine have always been like, when I have a really personal connection with another person, right?
Exactly.
Then
I think UFO, when you see like a UFO, I think that has everything to do with it.
Really? Yeah.
It's just happened too many times when you're having a moment with somebody and all of a sudden, boom, at least the farthest thing from that experience that you're expecting.
And it's so crazy.
It's like, what?
Like the first time
talks about it a little bit.
Who does?
Michael E. Hill talked about it a little bit, and he was saying some things about how actually he was, if I'm remembering this correctly, he was saying that like if you and I and someone else were in meditation, we could actually fly a craft and we would be in it, and that's what other people would experience.
Really, that's interesting.
It would be our light vehicle, and somebody would pick up on it.
Well, I can tell you for sure. Like I was talking to this person this one time, and they work in the medical field around surgery and stuff, right? And so I passed out. Like, you know, they got off the phone, they had to go to work, or whatever, and I passed out just for a little bit. You know how you had kind of like have a daydream where you pass out a little bit and you nod off, right? Well, I nodded off because.
Right.
I spent most of my time then just in front of the computer 24/7. So I would take day naps that way. And the second I nodded off, I saw people in scrubs and I saw all these turquoise bins and I saw a dude walk through two windows, like the double doors, and just move a gurney and then like step really wide, you know, to turn the gurney and push it. And then I woke up and I was like, what the hell was that? So I called him and I was like, hey, I just saw a whole bunch of turquoise or teal colored bins and like in this room, and this dude would walk through this door and turned it, and they named that who that person was, and they're like, yeah, we just got done working on this surgery, da 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 da, like you saw where I was at.
You got the gift, man. I think everybody has a gift, but you know you got it, right? You know.
Yeah, but is it because I have
that
connection to that person, or, you know?
I think it was because you weren't expecting anything.
Because I wasn't.
You just, but at the same time, you know, you're focused on this material. You're interested in the material, right? I mean, I think we all are. We wouldn't be having this conversation, right?
Yeah, I've never done that before.
And then it happens.
Like, was I out of body or did I remote view? I don't know. That's never happened to me before.
Probably both, right?
Yeah.
Now, And the other thing is, some of this stuff happens. I mean, I did some work at a medical facility myself for a decade or so. And yeah, you start seeing this stuff, and then you do ask somebody, and they go, oh yeah, that's, you know, Matilda, or that's, and you go, what?
Yeah, right.
Yeah, she's been here the whole, you know, someone passes away in an ER or in, you know, an assisted living facility or something, and they don't know where to go, and they're just there. But I think what you experienced was definitely, yeah, how thin that veil is, right? And you can see, but that's, if you're raised Christian, I mean, it talks about that right in the Bible.
Dude,
why didn't we pick up on it then?
Yeah,
I just, walking through walls.
I don't know. I don't know, man. I just think that there's some, I think that, you know, when you talk to scientists and people, they say, well, the one thing that differentiates humans between everybody else is emotion, right? The way we look at emotion, and there's so much unhealthy crap out there. The way we're raised, the
sure.
way we look at it, the way we treat it,
right.
Especially in relationships with our children, all of that stuff. And I really believe that the imagination and emotion, once channeled properly, is the trigger to manifesting things in your life. Magic, I would say magically, or it's just the way we conversate with our higher selves, however you want to look at it.
I think it's a natural ability that we have innate within ourselves. And as some part of us has to relax and just let go. Just let go and just let it prove itself. You know, just let it be. And then once that starts happening, then yeah, try not to control it, because I think it's wonderful. I've had so many good experiences with it that it's almost like why wouldn't you want to? I don't want to interfere in anybody's business, like we were talking about earlier. I mean, you know, are we bumping into our, you know, what are we seeing? Are we bumping it? Was the person that you saw, was he in that lucid state?
Mm-hmm.
And did you bump into him? Did he see you?
Well, no. Yeah,
I mean,
right.
You get into perspectives with this. And
well, it was a girl, actually, but it was the reason why I ask is because I remember, and shoot, we got to go here in just a second, but I remember talking to Marine Saint Germain when she came on, and she did that. It's an old episode I did with her, and it was the episode called Waking Up in 5D. And she said, you know,
yep.
like you could try to solve everything, but if you stay in that state of wonder, right, like ask the questions, what is it? Why is it? I wonder why I'm in the universe has me in this predicament, or I'm seeing this or experiencing this, instead of saying, I don't like this, I need to solve it or something, right? For some reason, when you stay
ask
in that
better,
state of curiosity,
better,
it's better.
Ask a better question, get a better answer, right?
Right, yeah.
Just stay. But that's what a lot of the, you know, as far as the shamanic path, you know, basically that's what it is. You're walking in both worlds at the same time. And I think that's already been, we know that, right? Because, you know, be in the world, but not of it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's the same thing, right? It's been right in front of our face the whole time.
Yeah. Yeah, I believe that too.
We don't hear it until we're ready to hear it. And I don't think, again, you know, trying to go into the non-judgment of it, we don't hear it until we're ready. And when you let it know that you're ready, then comes the party.
Then comes the party. Well, speaking of parties,
right.
Man, this one's over. It just goes by too fast, man. It really does.
Well, that was fun.
Yeah,
I always enjoy talking with you.
Yeah, for sure. Hang out just one second here. I got to get out of here. We'll be right back tomorrow night, same time, same channel. Also, tomorrow night, I'll be on Grimerica and back-to-back. I'm going to be on two separate podcasts. I'm going to be on Grimerica, and then Forbidden Knowledge News with Chris Matthews. So I'm going to be, if you want to follow me tomorrow night, I'll be doing those shows and then Lighting the Void. And Bri, thanks for coming back on. It was a pleasure having you back, man.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's always fun to talk.
All right, guys, stay awesome. Tuned for Good the night, Secret everybody. Teachings with Ryan Gable coming up next. Good night. Yeah, dude, I probably shouldn't have,
No, man.